The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So we have this statue here of the Buddha, and the Buddha statues are partly meant to be teaching means. They're kind of presenting a message, not just representing the Buddha, but they often represent a way of being in the world that is kind of a teaching in its own right. So they're kind of symbolic or representational of a stance or an attitude or a way of being. And so, for example, usually these Buddha statues exhibit a lot of confidence, kind of upright confidence, but not assertiveness, and kind of a little bit maybe self-contained confidence. And the idea that we also can do that. We can be confident and strong without having to kind of try to tamp it down, as long as we're not assertive or pushing it on other people. And then not only because it's a statue, but the Buddha is very still. It represents kind of really being still or tranquil in body, tranquil in mind. And so cultivating a deep sense of stillness or sweet stillness or tranquility. And then the eyes, usually in Buddha statues like this, and he's in the meditation posture here, is the eyes are half open. And he's kind of, the idea is he's gazing upon the world. And with the idea that the Buddha being a compassionate person, a kind person, he's gazing with kindness on the world. And so this kind of is summarized in a little aphorism that's a teaching for the rest of us. Be still and gaze upon everything kindly. And that's kind of would be a summary of the teachings. Be still. Don't be frozen. Don't hold yourself tight. But in a soft, kind of relax into a stillness, into a tranquility, and gaze upon everything kindly. So whatever goes on, whatever comes up, it's a training not to be in conflict or be aversive or be critical of what's happening. And with that kind of attitude, part of what we do in a day long today, in meditation in general, is that we are kind of like beginners all the time. Kind of like, maybe it would make sense to say that, I think probably most of us here have taken a fair number of showers in our lifetime. Maybe some of you took a shower today. And we don't say that we're beginning showerers, but it's always the same story, right? We're dirty and then we clean ourselves. We start over again. And we go to the shower and we start all over again, and clean ourselves. And no one, as far as I know, people don't normally complain. Oh, God, I got to do this again. I just did it. I should be more advanced. I should be, further along and do something different than showering because I've learned it now. So partly in meditation, we're constantly starting over because the mind is kind of does its thing. And it kind of, I don't know if it's a kind thing to say or exactly a right thing to say, but it's kind of like the mind gets dirty. And meditation is a basic hygiene thing. So often when we come back to meditate, the mind is a little more activated and energized in its thinking than it maybe is after we meditate or after a day long. And so maybe every time we come to sit, the energy and activities of the day have to be somehow tamed or settled or tranquilized so we can get focused and concentrated. And so if you use the breath meditation as an example, it would be to come back to your breath and come back to your breath. Redirect your mind. But how we redirect our mind, how we take the mind that's wandering off in thought and direct it back on course is actually quite important. And the analogy that I want to use for this is maybe you have a dear relative who maybe is elderly and is blind. And you're going for a walk with them, down the sidewalk, down a road or something, or a trail someplace. And just regularly, you have to kind of just gently kind of tap their elbow, this way, here, just a little bit more this way, a little more that way. And you just gently have all this compassion and care and tenderness, but you really have to be attentive. Come back here. There's no hostility. There's no disappointment. There's no feeling like, I just, you know, did this for this person 10 times. I must be a terrible guide. You know, I'm not getting the message to the person. I have to do it over and over again. What a terrible person I am, or what a drag it is to do this. Out of the care, the love for a person who's blind, you just kind of bring them back and bring them back. And perhaps after a while, they do get a sense of it, of where it is, and they kind of settle in and into the track in a little bit better way. But that kind of attitude of kindness, of care, of patience, of kind of like you're lovingly bringing the mind back here. And you bring it back here to be on course with the breathing or in the body. And then allow yourself to take a moment to really settle into this course. Settle in and feel the body breathing. Because if you only bring it back and then kind of, you know, connect for a moment as if you've done your duty, you'll go off course again. So as if your mind is blind, which in Buddhism they often say that people are blind. They don't really see what's going on. Their mind wanders off. And kind of bring it back. And the mind is tameable. It can learn if you keep coming back. But how you bring it back. And so a nice attitude is that you bring it back and you kind of allow yourself to feel and connect, but don't have high expectations of yourself. The mind wanders off and you come back. And slowly over time, you're developing habits. Slowly the mind learns, it gets tamed. Slowly it starts feeling better to be present. But you have to do it over and over again without a lot of reactivity or harshness or anything. So be still and gaze upon your thinking kindly and invite it back to the present as often as you need. And then over time, that mental, you know, hygiene thing that happens, is with time, the energy of being distracted becomes less and less, and the energy for being present becomes stronger. And the shower has worked until you have to do it again. Thank you.